1290 WJNO, West Palm Beach.
From the Club Raymond Motor Cars Studio, you're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
And here we are, Sunday afternoon, Family Center for Recovery show. I am your host, Peter Nathan. And with me today, some very special guests of mine. I've got Liz Fisher and Lissa Franklin. Lissa, could you maybe kind of introduce yourself to our audience and kind of go over a little bit about your background?
Sure. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Lissa. I'm 28 years old. I am a person in long-term recovery from a substance use disorder since February 1st, 2012. I am a clinical outreach coordinator at Life of Purpose Treatment. It's an academically focused substance use disorder treatment center on the campus of Florida Atlantic University in Boca. And what we do is offer students from anywhere in the country the ability to continue their college education while receiving primary residential level of care of treatment. I'm the chapter lead of Young People in Recovery Miami. I'm the founder and sitting president of the collegiate recovery community at the University of Miami called U Recovery. I help participate in the Miami-Dade County Opioid Task Force and Palm Beach County Sober Home Task Force. I'm a member of Southeast Florida Recovery Advocates. But most importantly, I'm just a person trying to tell everybody that there's somebody.
That is excellent. And as far as enough time in a day to do all that you do, that's quite ambitious as far as schedule that you have. Liz, could you go over, welcome to the show, and could you kind of go over a little bit about your background and involvement as far as various advocacy?
Thank you, Peter. Like I said, my name is Liz Fisher. I live in Pembroke Pines, Florida, long Florida resident. I am an elementary school teacher, have taught school for 25 plus years. I first got involved in substance abuse and supporting families and our family, because I have a son who has struggled with substance use disorder now for the past 5 years. He is currently in treatment at Family Center for Recovery. He's doing pretty well, I hope. and I really got involved. Some of the things I am involved in from a parent family advocacy point of view is I do facilitate a weekly Nar-Anon meeting in my community in Cooper City, Florida, which meets every Monday night in Cooper City. I'm also involved in the Southeast Florida Recovery Advocates, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, which is just a combination of people who want to help in the recovery field, our loved ones.
Excellent. The other day we were having lunch and we're talking about as far as various areas that you're both very involved in. The one area that seemed of importance was family and treatment, family and recovery, family and prevention. And ladies, if you could maybe kind of go over for our listeners a little bit, as far as I know, mentioned Liz, as far as Nar-Anon, and then Liz, if you could maybe kind of go over some of the areas at family and how the importance of family in those particular areas.
Sure. When I first became aware of my son's struggle with substance abuse, it was back in March 2012. And my son went to his first treatment center back then. And I was really fortunate at the time he was at a place that had a family support program. So I was able to get involved in there and happened to be sitting in one of the family meetings and was sitting next to a wonderful husband and wife who have now become very good friends of mine, who I was sitting in this meeting crying, not knowing what was going to happen. And they turned to me and said, "Hey, Liz, where do you live?" And one thing led to another. And they said, "Why don't you join us at a Nar-Anon meeting?" And I had no idea what that was. Yeah, I was still at the point where I didn't know anything. And so I started going to Nar-Anon. I was very lucky. I got to Nar-Anon right away. As we started this journey with my son's struggle with substance abuse. And I have to honestly say it really did save me and my family a lot of pain. Not saying we didn't have our struggles, because we did, but it certainly expedited our ability to get and stay healthy despite what was going on with my son. So that's been my experience about getting help for our family right away, getting involved in a recovery support program right away. That was really integral to us staying pretty healthy most of the time.
Lisa, I know you're involved with a lot of groups and things along those lines, and Liz's story that she just mentioned. Your thoughts as far as family and the importance of, and especially early on.
Family involvement is super important. It had a substantial impact on my sustained recovery, and I've seen it have an importance in a lot of my friends' sustained recovery also. It's very important, like Liz said, for the parents to get their own help, because while the loved one is away at treatment working on themselves, it provides the family an opportunity to focus on, you know, how that has specifically affected them. Because you can be just as addicted to the chaos and the saving as a person is to, you know, the specific substances, because you get used to that lifestyle. You get used to having anxiety every single time the phone rings. You know, you get used to not sleeping. My parents got a new mattress when I had 2 years sober, because it didn't matter before, since they weren't sleeping, you know, but they finally felt comfortable enough where, you know, they could get one because they were finally sleeping again. But they were able to do that because while I was working on myself, you know, they were working on their self. They showed up at family weekends. They're still very involved in their own parent support groups. And that's also, like, the family component is so special. That's why I also fight so hard to protect it with all of my local community advocacy efforts, because a lot of the exploitation of families is happening. You know, and they're in their most vulnerable time looking for a safe and supportive environment for their loved one. Some people see that as easy prey. And so it's very important that the good facilities start, you know, banding together and being more open, letting them know they're there, because the truth is there are more legitimate and good facilities down here than there are the unscrupulous ones, you know, but it's our job to stand up and protect those families in their time of need.
Thank you for sharing. And if you just joined us, you've tuned into the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. Today with me in the studio, Liz and Lissa, and they're advocates as far as for families. And we're talking about right now as far as family and the importance of family. We're also talking about the importance of self-care as well. So many times we get caught up in the well-being, the person that is the identified patient, so to speak. But we also need to kind of remember to take care of ourselves. NARNON is a support group. It's a fellowship. And NARNON stands for...
Well, NARNON is, it's the 12-step recovery program for families, because there's NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous, for our loved ones, you know, in recovery, you know, looking to get in recovery, stay in recovery, get support from their substances. But NARNON is the offshoot of that. And so it is a 12-step program, just like, you know, our loved ones that go to NA. It is a 12-step program, very similar to NA, but some of the language might be is a little different because it pertains to families. It has 12 steps, the 12 traditions. You can do 12-step step work. But there's also Al-Anon, which is, again, another great program. There's Celebrate Recovery. There's Learn to Cope, which was founded by Joanne Peterson up in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And Learn to Cope. So if you ever want to Google, it's Learn, number two, Cope, not the word T-W-O. It's the number two Cope. And it has a totally different feel to it, because the Learn to Cope meetings are facilitated by people in recovery themselves. So that is a really great place for families to go if they want to ask specific questions about their loved ones. That can they can get information from people who've had experience with it. So it's a little bit different than Nar-Anon and Al-Anon and Celebrate Recovery, but it's another great resource. And I know they meet in Broward on Thursday, every other Thursday, and in Palm Beach County. They meet every other Tuesday at the Triangle Club. There's also NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, because a lot of our loved ones struggling with any type of substance use disorder have some type of underlying mental health issue. So some families choose to go to NAMI also for meetings. And then there's also CODA, Codependence Anonymous, which is just basically for anybody who just wants to have a develop a healthy relationship with another person if those boundaries are not being. And all of these you can find online. And many of them also have online meetings. Nar-Anon has online meetings. Al-Anon has online meetings. I believe NAMI has online meetings. I think CODA has online meetings. So there's always a way to get support. So in this age of technology, that's one of the great things. So those are all different support systems out there for families. They just have to be willing to go.
Excellent. Mentioned as far as Lisa, facilities and a lot of I think the perception is and something that we've gone over on the show of past with past guests have had is that there are a lot of really ethical and good facilities here in South Florida. And I know that in your travels you visit with and you see and talk with a lot of people. What are some of your thoughts as far as areas that are positive and things that the facilities that you come across in your travels?
You're right. Most of them are good. South Florida treatment recovery is what saved my life. So that's why I fight so hard to protect it. But beyond that, something to look for is the facility accredited? What types of clinical services are being provided? Are they being provided evidence-based treatment modalities by licensed master's level clinicians? You know, or are they being given a packet by a behavioral health tech or sat in front of a TV being billed for DBT, which is not the case? Look at your explanation of benefits. See what you're being billed for. See if you're being billed for random allergy testing, weekly genetic testing. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure your genetic test doesn't change week to week, so why would you need to have it done once weekly for 30 days? Because none of that stuff's going to be happening at a place that provides ethical treatment. Are you able to call the facility if a release is signed and get, an update on your loved one? Is there that communication, involvement within the community? There's a list that Cumberland Heights just put out. Cumberland Heights is a facility in Nashville, Tennessee. Jay Cross, and the CEO, was the one who compiled it. I will send you it so you can post it on the website. But it's a very comprehensive list of the top 10 things to look for when looking for an ethical treatment provider. And it's important for everyone everywhere to look at this list, even if you're not in a situation of crisis. Because a big issue that happens when families are in crisis, they go to the internet, they Google something. The facilities that are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on a month on SEO and Google pay-per-click are the ones that show up. And the family at that point doesn't have enough time, to look through and vet their options. So I absolutely encourage everyone to take a look at that list.
That information is so valuable to our listeners because yes, somebody is in a moment of crisis, and it's like, where do you go? I mean, a lot of times people aren't comfortable talking with friends, and a lot of times it is, let's go to the internet. Thoughts, Liz, as far as looking for treatment?
Well, I can say with our journey with our son, who's been in, I want to guess, 29 treatment centers in the last 4.5 years, that he definitely fell victim to that, exactly. You know, he's an adult. At some point, our healthy relationship had to be that we had to let him find his own place, but he did fall victim to just Googling and just getting somewhere quickly.
And with that, we will be back after this short commercial message.
You're listening. listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back.
The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Here we are. We are back. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon and making us part of it, wherever that may be. Could be at a picnic, could be doing some chores around the house, or you could be out on your boat. Wherever that may be, we appreciate you as listeners and being a part of. Pen and pencil. Yes, there. We're going to be going over some events, things. So if you haven't already got that pen and pencil, please do. We'll be going over some information. I'm sure you're going to want to jot down and look to join us at. Before we went to break, we were talking with Liz, and she was going over as far as her as far as finding treatment for her son, and we were talking as how do you find an ethical facility, things along those lines. And Liz, your thoughts as far as what we're talking about as far as
I got to tell you, you know, because my son's been in so much treatment, which I want to say, I mean, I helped him the first time he went into treatment. Because he was in a detox place in a hospital-based detox place in Tamarack. And that was, like I said, back in March 2012. At that point, he was asking to go on a treatment. Now, let me mind you, I didn't know anything about addiction at this point. I knew nothing. Had never had any past experience in it. None of my family that I knew of had struggled with it at this level where they were requiring treatment. So I didn't know. So I did help him get into his first treatment facility, and actually the hospital that he was at gave me a couple of names of places, and I just did the usual phone calls, and you know, and he went, and they were a great place. They really were. But you know, my son wasn't ready at that point in his life to commit to doing everything that he needed to maintain his sobriety. He just wasn't ready yet. So fast forward, he went through a lot of treatment centers, and at some point, because there was so much chaos in our life and I was getting healthy going to Nar-A-Non, I knew that, you know, the three C's. I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, and I certainly can't control it. You know, I got to that point in my own recovery, I just had to let him go to do what he needed to do to hopefully get to the point where he was going to want to get better for himself. So that was a part of my journey, and I'm grateful that Nar-A-Non got me to that point. So Michael, my son, did get to the point where he would just—he went to so many places, and very, very few of them had any type of family support. But he would just Google, and some of them would send him airline tickets. Some of them would do some of those unscrupulous things to get him to come and stay, you know, give them cigarettes, At the time, he did have health insurance, so some of his some of the places he would get housing once he dropped down to the IOP or outpatient level, and he didn't have to pay any rent. There was no help and assistance with his medication. So at this point in his early recovery, he was just left charged to take care of those things and really wasn't treated as a patient. He really wasn't treated as a patient. He was more treated as just a client or somebody, you know, had done the typical 28-day and then, okay, let's see how you do at this point, but not a lot of those support services. So, you know, that's kind of been our experience as a family, that there were some places that were good. Like Lissa said, there were. There really were some places that were really, really good. It's just at that point in time, my son, for whatever reason, wasn't ready. And part of that could have been that we hadn't totally gotten out of the way as a family. You know, we hadn't totally gotten out of the way to let him do what he needs to do. But, you know, everything's a learning process. And so, but I'm grateful for today, you know, that he's doing fine. And, you know, he's managed to get to a place where he seems to want it for himself, which is the best thing.
Thank you for sharing. We appreciate as far as, and I know that our listeners are out there listening. They also, as far as the, what you've mentioned, very helpful towards what they're potentially looking at. SEFRA. SEFRA stands for, and that's really kind of how the three of us came together. Could you could you kind of maybe go over SEFRA, Lissa, and
Sure. It stands for Southeast Florida Recovery Advocates. It was started a couple years ago by Maureen Killian, Katrin O'Leary, Sharon Burns Carter, and Linda Martner. The idea behind SEFRA is we are an open group. We're a community advocacy group, but we're comprised of a bunch of different individual advocacy groups. Because what we found is that we all have the same main goals, but we were all kind of operating separately and trying to get the exact same things done and accomplished, but we weren't really getting anywhere because we were doing the same thing, but 15 different ways. So our main goals are to stop the unscrupulous physicians, the illegal drug cartels, which is Big Pharma, the exploitation of insurance fraud in the treatment industry, the buying and the selling of the humans, which is patient brokering. We also help fight for the implementation of recovery support, so recovery community organizations, closed drives, local soup kitchens, donations for harm reduction methods, so safe injection kits, access to naloxone, and with the implementation of protective legislation. So some of the groups that are part of it, Steered Straight with the high schools. There's the Ian Mautner Foundation. There's Learn to Cope. There's all the local young people in recovery chapters, the local collegiate recovery communities, and then various treatment centers and other community advocacy groups come together to support. Sometimes we throw big events. We do have one coming up on August 31st at the Research Park at FAU. It's the Fed Up Rally. It's on August 31st, which is also International Overdose Awareness Day, but we're going to be marching in celebration of those in recovery, in remembrance of those lost, demanding that something be changed for the opioid epidemic.
Very involved as far as, and that's the thing is coming together. And that's the one of the things that with the Fed Up Rally, if you've got your pen and paper, you might want to go and look for this one. It's www.fedUpRally.org. I'll have all the information that Lissa just mentioned as far as the rally and the march and that's going to be taking place. That's one of the things I've noticed is they're coming together, and that's where we get things accomplished. And as far as being able to get involved and becoming a part of SEFRA, Liz, your thoughts as far as SEFRA and what it means to you and how you got started in it.
I got involved in because I was friends with, you know, with Linda and Katrin and Maureen. You know, we're all moms, you know, trying to make a difference for other families.
Mom-vocates.
Yeah, mom-vocates. You know, I never thought I would be involved in something like this, but I am. And part of that is, as a parent, and as a family that now has a loved one struggling with substance abuse, some of the things I've found is that there's so much shame and stigma behind it that people don't want to talk about it. And as I got more involved in Naranon and just trying to do little things like going on a local march in support of people with mental health or substance abuse, I looked around and I thought, wow, this is a lot of people. This affects a lot of people because it was something I just didn't know about. I didn't think badly about it. I just didn't know about it because I had never had experience with it. So I got involved in SEFRA because I started just getting involved in a few little tiny things, and then that just built up to getting involved in bigger things. And so I am involved in SEFRA, but I'm just a mom, and I know it's not just a mom, but I'm a family member because if we can show the faces of family members who have loved ones struggling with substance abuse who are not afraid to get out there and talk about it, it's hopefully going to break down some of those barriers that other people will start getting help for themselves and their loved ones, and hopefully both. So it's just kind of, to me, it's just getting the face out that you're not alone. You know, it's okay. It's okay, you know.
It's such an important message. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan. With me today in the studio, that was Liz Fisher, and I also have Lissa Franklin. We're talking about as far as not being alone and stigma, and we're talking about ways to get together and to really learn more and help each other. We're talking about SEFRA. And how does somebody get involved? Let's say somebody's listening or saying, you know what, SEFRA, that sounds like my kind of group. I'd like to be involved. How does somebody get started in something like that if they're interested in it?
You can come to the next meeting. Yeah. It's August 9th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Family Children Services Council, which is off of Gateway Boulevard in Palm Beach County in Boynton. Sometimes we meet at various places, well, more centrally located, because we are a group from Miami-Dade, Broward County, Palm Beach County, and Martin County. So we don't always specifically meet at the Palm Beach County location. Sometimes we do it in Broward. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do it in South Broward. Sometimes we do it in North Palm. But it just so happens that the next meeting is going to be August 9th at the Family Children Services Council.
Excellent. I know that for sharing that there's people out there that are thinking and probably want to get involved. So far we've talked about family. We've talked about SEFRA, important aspects as far as treatment, recovery. Thoughts on young people in recovery? And I know you've got some personal experience and professional experience. Lissa, what are your thoughts?
Young People in Recovery specifically is a national grassroots advocacy movement that was started by Justin Luke Riley. And what it does is it aims to educate, advocate, and empower people who are young in their recovery. So what we do, again, it's open to everyone, not just young people. But we host workshops for, you know, how to find access to safe and supportive housing. So breaking down all the different levels of FAR certification, what ones would work best for a certain circumstance. We do employment workshops, so how to tie a tie, how to write a resume, how to go on an interview. We do education workshops, so how to go back to school, how to apply for financial aid, how to responsibly manage your student loans. One of my most favorite aspects that we do is the Fighting for Legislation and the Recovery Messaging Training. So the recovery messaging training teaches someone how to talk about their recovery in an empowering way using less stigmatizing language. So even on a job interview, say you're going to on a job interview, but you have gaps of employment that you have to explain. Most of the times for people like me, it's either because we were in jail or treatment. So it's about how to talk about that in an esteemable, empowering way to benefit you, versus inadvertently re-stigmatize yourself. And then going beyond that, the involvement within the collegiate recovery communities, those are so awesome. They are PLA groups of students in recovery on college campuses. So it's like debate club or chess club, but it's specifically to support students who are in recovery on campus so they can have a normalized college experience within the infrastructure of the university without the use of drugs and alcohol. There's over 250 currently across the country. They are organized under the Association of Recovery and Higher Education. To find out more information on that, you can go to collegiaterecovery.org. But locally, there's one at the University of Miami, at Broward College, at Palm Beach State College, and at Florida Atlantic University.
That information is so, so valuable. And for somebody that's out there that's looking and trying to figure out as far as where to go, it's a good thing that those types of workshops and resources are available for somebody that's in recovery. We're going to be going to a short commercial break, and we're going to be talking further as far as about Fed Up Rally, which is going to be coming up. We've got a lot of other really cool and interesting things we're going to be going over. If you haven't already grabbed that paper and pencil or pen, you may want to, because we've got some really neat things that we're going to be talking about and coming back to. So thanks again for joining us, and we will be right back.
Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter, she's been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Family Center for Recovery Show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us and make us a part of your Sunday afternoon. I hope the sun is shining wherever you may be. You've tuned into the Family Center for Recovery Show. I am your host, Peter Nathan, with me today in the studio, Liz and Lissa. We're talking about, before we went to commercial break, young people in recovery, and Lissa was sharing with us as far as a lot of valuable resources for people, the young people. Your thoughts as far as some of the other things that we're talking about that young people may want to have, or family members even keeping in mind, as far as if they do have somebody who's a young person that's in recovery or in treatment?
Just going back to the importance of supports for both young people and families. So kind of like what Liz was talking about, there's Al-Anon, there's Nar-Anon, there's Celebrate Recovery, there's Learn to Cope, there's Families Anonymous, there's CODA. And just like there's AA, NA, CA, Celebrate Recovery, Young People in Recovery, the Collegiate Recovery Communities, they all serve their own purpose. Like, oftentimes Young People in Recovery is misconstrued as a replacement for a 12-step program, but instead it's actually a supplement. So, like, personally, I have my support from Narcotics Anonymous through 12-step, the fellowship. I also am a member of Young People in Recovery, I'm also a member of a collegiate recovery community. So I have peer support within my 12-step fellowship, the collegiate recovery community, and young people in recovery. Also SEFRA, because the Momvie kids take very good care of me. you know, and it's important to have that foundation as a family, too. So you can have, you know, your 12-step support. If you're faith-based, you can also be going to celebrate recovery. But Learn to Cope is so fun, and it kind of has the same fun, happy, joyful undertone that Young People in Recovery does, but it's for the family component. So it's just important to keep your foundation big, you know, so your pinnacle can be high. It's really hard to fall off if you're surrounded by so many positives.
Excellent. That certainly is advice well taken, and thank you for sharing. As far as Liz, your thoughts, family, support, things along, we were going to kind of revisit some things and expand on some of the things we were talking about earlier, but your thoughts?
I agree wholeheartedly with what Lissa just said. You know, as a family member, like I said, I was really fortunate to get to Narnon very, very quickly. Like, my son had been in treatment for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and I happened just to be sitting next to a husband and wife who lived in my area. So I'm very fortunate I got there quickly. I think, and now that I actually, you know, I did the 12, I did step work. I actually sponsor, other people in Narnon now to get them to the point where they now are doing a lot of self-discovery of themselves and beginning to rebuild their lives outside of their loved one's addiction. And it's very, very rewarding. What we always tell new people when they come, when people first come to a Narnon meeting, or I'm sure it's any meeting, Al-Anon, Celebrate Recovery, Learn to Cope, NAMI, CODA, Families Anonymous, that you give it at least 5 to 6 times to go.
Definitely.
Don't, because the first time you go, all I can say for me, the first year I went to Narnon, I probably cried at every meeting. Because it's sad. It's very sad things that we're going through. And it's actually almost a grieving process. But give it a chance. Go 5 to 6 times. If you go to a meeting and that one doesn't feel right, go to another one. Every one of these family support groups has a website. You can go on there and find a different meeting at a different time to meet your needs. But I can't emphasize enough to go. Just like what Lissa was saying, it's your safety net. It's your life jacket. It's your life preserver. It's what's going to keep you afloat if things get rough. And we have people whose loved ones are now in recovery 4, 5, 6 years, and they still come. They still come because it's now just become a part of their life. And they're at the point now they're giving back. Because the giving back is what helps keep you healthy. And, you know, just paying it forward, like Lissa was saying. Paying it forward, paying it forward. And it's really good to still stay connected, even when your loved ones are doing well. When they're really doing well, it's still a healthy thing to do.
That's the thing that's so empowering, to know that there are these groups, that there are other people out there, that you're not alone, and that's a lot of times what can happen is that people feel this isolation, but recognizing there are other people that are going through the same things that you're feeling, that there are groups and some people, and there are people who do care. So that's something like that to know that's there. We've been talking a little bit about the Fed Up Rally. This is a big deal. This is something, if you got your calendar out, you're going to want to mark it for, and you're going to want to make it a part of, and get a hold of your friends, email, text, carrier pigeon, however it may be, to get in contact. So that information, I know, Lissa, you've got some information for us.
So the local Fed Up Rally is going to be on August 31st. It's going to start at 5 o'clock p.m. arrival time at 3848 FAU Boulevard, Suite 100, which is the research park at FAU. We're arriving at 5 o'clock to make the banners. And then at 6 o'clock, we will begin the march from Research Park to K Auditorium on FAU's campus. At 6:30, we're going to arrive at the auditorium. At 6:45, the speakers will begin. For the lineup, we have Palm Beach County Commissioner Melissa McKinley. We have State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg. We have Miami-Dade Deputy County Mayor Russell Benford. We have Palm Beach County Sober Home Task Force Detective Nicole Lucas. Andrew Berkey will be speaking. Sharon Sandy will be speaking for the Mom Advocates.
Yep.
And then following that at 8 o'clock, we'll be closing with a candlelight vigil, and the rally will adjourn.
There's quite a lineup of people that are involved as far as legislation. I know Commissioner Melissa McKinley has really been at the forefront of as far as an advocate, and also as far as working with other lawmakers, and to have Dave Ehrenberg and Al Johnson there as well. So the date is going to be the 31st, Thursday. Please go to the www.fedoprally.org and get involved. Tell your friends and make it a part of your calendar to come out and join us. So we've talked about a lot of things today. We've talked about as far as family. We've talked about as far as young people in recovery. There's the Fed Up Rally. Some other thoughts as far as some things that people might want to keep in mind. I know that they're the helpful hints as far as that somebody might be thinking as far as as a family member. Thoughts?
Well, I think as a family member, you know, try to, when we're dealing with having to cope with what our loved one's going through, you know, and there's a lot of chaos and uncertainty, and for me anyway, it was very fear-based. But once I was able to understand that I really can't control it, I was able to eventually let a lot of things go. But that in a family's own recovery, that we still have to go on living, we still have to go on doing what we're going to do, and stop and take a minute or a day or a week or a month or whatever it is. To start doing the things that you used to do that maybe you stopped doing because you got so addicted to your loved one's chaos, so to speak. So it's not easy to do. So maybe I would just recommend anybody who's listening, who's right now in the middle of chaos and has stopped doing some of the things that they love to do, just pick one thing. Pick one thing that you used to do that you don't do anymore, and just try it. And it's, everything's going to be okay, but just try it. I think that's what I've seen with a lot of families. They stop doing, they put everything else on hold, and they don't do anything, and you can't get that time back. Mm-hmm. You can't get that time back.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And your thoughts as far as Lisa?
My thoughts are teamwork makes the dream work, because it's literally a team effort. It's a team effort between the individual and the family. It's a team effort between the individual and the clinical team. It's a team effort between the individual, the clinical team, and the family. And in addition to that, the peer support of the individual and the peer support of the family. It's important for the family to listen to the clinical suggestions. It's important for the family to, you know, take care of themselves. And likewise, it's very important for the individual to follow the clinical suggestions, and it's very important for the individual to have that peer support. This process is extremely difficult. It's very long. It's not quick. One of my misconceptions when I went to treatment is that I would go to treatment and I would be cured. And I'm pretty certain that was my family's initial.
I have to say, Lisa, when my son went to treatment the first time, I didn't know. Yeah. I always say that, but I didn't know anything. I can't echo just what Lisa said. When my son went to treatment the first time back in March 2012, I really felt like, okay, we're getting packed up for camp. We're going to go off. Mm-hmm. You're going to go. You're going to do everything you're supposed to do.
28 days is going to be
and all the that's not how it went. But it's a learning curve. Everything's a learning curve.
And it's hard, but it's so worth it. You know, there's no finish line in this. It is a daily reprieve every day on everyone's you know, on everyone's end. My brother, when I made my amends to him, my littlest brother, he's like, you know, I'm really scared because I keep hearing this one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. So I know that at any time you make the wrong decision, we could go back to what was. You know, but then it's on me and my accountability to make sure that I'm doing absolutely every single thing that I can do every day, you know, to prevent going back to that place. Like, everything I have in my life today is a result of being in recovery. And so that's why I feel like it's my job and duty, you know, to keep hope alive for that next person the same way it was kept alive for me.
That is such the advice and the solid thoughts for sharing. The one that I really like, and if you could maybe repeat it for our listeners, teamwork
makes the dream work.
your thoughts on that. I love that phrase, Liz, your thoughts on that.
She's so right. I mean, you know, I teach elementary school, and you know, there's a, you know, it takes a village. It takes a village to help our loved ones combat, you know, and hopefully get into remission their disease. So it does take a village, and it's themselves, it's their families, it's their clinical team, it's their peer support group. That's a village, you know, but they have to be totally plugged into their village. You know, we can't make them plug in, but we can certainly be a part of in the healthy part of the village, and hopefully they'll connect in a healthy way. So she's right. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's so important. That's the thing is to realize that you're not alone, that there are other people out there that do care. And it's just a matter of having the right people to surround yourself with and to make and care to be a part of your life. We're going to be going to a short commercial break. We're going to be back. Thanks again. We really appreciate you joining us and with us today, Liz and Lissa. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back.
The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
We are back. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon. You tuned in. You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm your host, Peter Nathan, and with me today in the studio, Liz and Lissa. Some helpful hints, something that meeting and talking with that Liz has mentioned the value of Marshman Act and how some things that could be helpful to others. Your thoughts on Marshman and how that could be of value to somebody?
I know, because I did mention at the beginning of our talk today that my son's been, I want to guesstimate, around 29 treatment centers in the last 4.5 years. And there is a tool out there through our court systems, the mental health court system. It's called the Marchman Act. And I finally, about, well, this May, got the courage to do it. So I went, I live in Broward County, so I went down to the Broward County Courthouse, the mental health office, and got the paperwork to file a petition to have the Marchman Act on my son. And because our particular situation was that he would go to treatment. It wasn't the going to treatment. It was the staying and finishing and complying with all aspects of the treatment. So for us and our family, we decided at this point that we had nothing to lose. You know, we didn't want to lose our son, obviously. But, you know, this was an external force, an external tool that we could use, so to speak, that might motivate our loved one to comply with all aspects of treatment. And I'm happy to say it's working. You know, I'm happy to say that he has been complying with all aspects of it. And I actually, and just so you know, that with the Marchman Act, typically, you don't have to get an attorney, you know, because a lot of times by the time that family members get to the point where they're considering a Marchman Act, they really have spent a lot of their own money. So you don't have to, but you do have to be diligent about learning about all aspects of what is required for the Marchman. So, and once that Marchman order is granted, when you go to the courthouse and you go through the process, and if the, I know in our son's particular case, we got the 90 days, which is the maximum you can get in one shot. You can go back and actually file for an extension to elongate it. So I was able to do that, you know, recently, and was successful in that. So it is possible for family members to do it. You know, we didn't get an attorney ourselves. We did it. But it is another tool for families to use to help support their loved ones getting and staying and complying with treatment.
Thank you for sharing. That is certainly an extremely valuable tool, and I'm sure that somebody out there listening right now that maybe is not aware of or even heard of or thought of, that could potentially be a value, something of helping them. We're getting ready to wrap up here, and Lissa, your thoughts as far as, there were some other things we're going to go up over as far as we're talking about a commercial break. I think what was it?
There's just there's a lot of events coming up, and it's important for people to get up and show up, because this is now something that there, anybody in America literally knows somebody who's affected by this. It used to be something that was quiet, not talked about, which created people to feel isolated and alone. But it's important to know that we're all in this together. We all support each other. So it's very important that we start to show up to these events. Commissioner Melissa McKinley is hosting a roundtable with a couple of state senators on August 8th. That will be held at Palm Beach Atlantic University. We have the Fed Up rally that, again, we talked about, is on September or August 31st. And then there's also the United Stamp Symposium coming up in September, which is September 19th at Nova Southeastern University from 6 to 9. And who will be a part of that is various local legislators, state attorneys, the DEA, and a couple of national congressmen.
Could you repeat that as far as how is that get up and, or show? How is that again? That was
the get up and show up.
That is so, yes, that's impactful.
And I would like to use that to invite for the Fed Up on August 31st. Any family members that would like to come, we're going to have a table. I'm actually going to be manning a table. It's our banner. We're making banners of remembrance and support. And we're going to have a table, and we're going to have cloth banners, purple. Come by and make one for your loved one. And as we do the march, we'll be carrying those banners. And we're going to have purple fabric for our loved ones in recovery, red for those in still in active addiction, and black for those that we have lost to this disease. So we're hoping and praying that we're going to see lots of purple banners as we walk. That's our hope. But it's a nice visual tool. So we invite everyone to come out, come to the table, make a banner for your loved one or for someone that you know and support, and we'd love to see you there.
Excellent. Ladies, I really appreciate you showing up and joining us here in the studio and sharing with our listeners as far as your valuable insight and perspective. I know that they've probably learned a lot, and there's a lot that could go towards helping them and helping others in their lives. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Closing thoughts as far as, Lisa, maybe some closing thoughts that you might have.
If no one's told you that they believe in you today, I do.
That means so much. And and Liz, closing thoughts.
I would just I would just encourage any family out there struggling with a loved ones or friends addiction, get help for yourself. Get healthy yourself. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your other family, friends. And believe it or not, your loved one, the one that's struggling, wants you to be healthy. They really do. They may not be able to share that with you, but they really do want you to be happy and to move on with your life. So I would just really, you know, put that challenge out that if you're not attending some type of family support group system, to find something for yourself.
Excellent. The ones that I take away from the day, and I really appreciate the thoughts, teamwork makes the dream work. The other one, get up and show up. We wish you a wonderful week. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much.
And have a great week.
You too.
Thanks again.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery Radio Show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery Show. What's next?